Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 128 of the Attractions Podcast, sponsored by Destinations with Character Travel. I am Seth.
And I'm Carly.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. So what's going on in your life? How has your week been since you made your first appearance with us last week?
It has been great. I'm still reeling from the excitement. It's a lot to take in. I've had so much fun, connected with a lot of people on Twitter and Instagram after, and I did not go on the Star Cruiser, but I did go to Dollywood. So
that fantastic.
Is exciting.
You know, I was just saying before we got started that that is on my bucket list. I've heard nothing but great things about the rides, but especially about the entertainment and the food at that park.
Yes, there's really nothing like it. And Lightning Rod is in my top five roller coasters in the country. It is incredible. The food is incredible. And just the people, you get that nice little Southern hospitality.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Well, I did not get to go to Dollywood or Galactic Star Cruiser or anywhere exotic this week. Got to spend a nice evening at the Magic Kingdom playing around with Genie Plus, which I think we're going to be chatting about a little bit later. Yes, but the highlight of my week is I got to go last night to see the National Broadway tour of Frozen, the musical. It's here in town in Orlando. It's through this weekend and next weekend if you want to get tickets to see it. And I was really impressed. I got to say, I loved Lion King on Broadway. I really enjoyed the original production of Beauty and the Beast. Aladdin, Little Mermaid, Broadway shows didn't do as much for me. I was really happy with Frozen. It's got great special effects, fantastic cast, some really good new songs that strengthen the script. I recommend it. So
yeah, it's a great production. I mean, I'm with you that Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, those are, you know, just top tier Disney. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, okay. Without any further ado, let's get into the news. All right, we are going to kick it off with what was breaking news just a few days ago. Disneyland has announced dates for the return of nighttime spectaculars. It's been a while, but they are finally bringing back four nighttime shows. Plus, they are returning the Main Street Electrical Parade to Disneyland Park with a new 50th anniversary grand finale. I personally am a little bit bummed. I'm going out to Disneyland on March 8th for a week, and I was hoping some of this would be up in time for me. But unfortunately, Disneyland Forever fireworks and the Main Street Electrical Parade will not be returning until April 22nd. World of Color will also be returning to Disney California Adventure on April 22nd, and Fantasmic will not be returning to Disneyland Park until May 28th. So out of all of these shows coming back to Disneyland Park, which one are you most excited about?
I hands down, Main Street Electrical Parade. I mean, it's iconic, decades, so many incarnations of it. I love it. I mean, it's just, it's exciting. It's like Disneyland is finally getting there. We have trams, we have nighttime shows, so I'm ready.
I'm a little torn on Main Street Electrical Parade. For one thing, like electronic keyboard version of Baroque Hoedown is still stuck in my head from, you know, the first time I saw it when I was like 4 years old. And that is serious heavy nostalgia for me. I feel a little queasy about the way they have so many times marketed this thing as going away forever. They sold off pieces of this, souvenirs of the final, you know, it's like almost been 20 years that this has been, you know, your absolute last chance to see it. But I do think that if they're going to bring it back, it's great that they are putting in this huge new finale float that kind of combines the original design with inspiration from It's a Small World and incorporates characters from all sorts of Disney and Pixar films, including Encanto. Our first real reference to Encanto inside a Disney entertainment. So I'm looking forward to this. I'm sad that I'm going to have to be making a return trip during this summer, but yeah, I guess that's another reason to come back to Disney. Fantasmic, again, we don't have any particular details about any changes. We know they're going to be making changes to Fantasmic when it comes back to Disney's Hollywood studios here in Florida. And World of Color looks like it's going to be the standard version of World of Color, not a special version coming back. The parade and the Disneyland Forever fireworks are going to be a limited time only. We don't know how long it's lasting, so get out there and see those while you can, and contact Destinations with Character Travel because they can help you plan that trip. Next up, Icebreaker Roller Coaster is now officially open at SeaWorld Orlando. We've chatted about this before. I got the chance to ride this during media previews almost a month ago. It has been a long time coming, but finally now officially open at SeaWorld Orlando is the Icebreaker roller coaster. It's a forward and backwards launch roller coaster. First announced almost 2.5 years ago and was supposed to open in 2020, but it is now open. Is this one on your list of rides to do?
It is. I haven't made it there yet, but I'm going to. I love a good launch. So I love floor launches. I love a good, you know, top hat drop. So I'm excited. It looks really good.
Yeah. Now, one thing to keep in mind, when we previewed this coaster, it was billed as a family-friendly coaster. It had only a 48-inch height requirement. Since then, they have raised the height requirement to, I believe, 54 inches right now. And SeaWorld has put out a statement saying that they're working with the manufacturer. They want to make sure it's safe. It sounds like maybe they could make some adjustments and return it to the original 48. But right now, if you were planning on hitting this with your kid who's just barely 4 feet tall, you might have to hold off for a little bit. Next on the agenda, Slingshot is launching riders skyward over Sunset Walk near the Margaritaville Resort in Kissimmee. There's an entertainment promenade at Sunset Walk, and they have installed a Slingshot bungee-style adrenaline ride. This is one of those rides that shoots you up in the air, and you flip over and over and slowly bounce back down. This one stands at 240 feet tall, so it is not quite as tall as the one at Icon Park on International Drive that I got to try out, and you can find that video on our YouTube channel. I can't even bear to watch it anymore because I look ridiculous. So this one's a few feet shorter, but honestly, once you're, you know, flinging in the air at like 100 miles an hour, hitting 400 feet high, 5 G's, you know, if it's a few feet short in the other one, I don't think you're really going to notice. The other big difference. Yeah, this one's got a little bit of volcano theming to it with some lights and fog to amp up the drama before you're launched. Have you ever done one of these?
I have. And I actually went to go look at this like last week. And it's really cute. They made it like you're saying about the volcano. They have a little tiki hut and like sand that you walk through. I looked at it. I didn't go on it. I went immediately to Ford's garage. And I was like, there's no way they're getting me out of this.
Yeah. You might need to have a few drinks before you get on that. 1,000. Definitely need a drink afterwards. I got to tell you, I did do this right back to back with the world's tallest freestanding drop tower that they also have, all operated by the same company. The Slingshot was actually not as terrifying as the drop tower. The Slingshot was almost relaxing once you got over the initial terror. But if you want to find out for yourself, minimum height requirement on this thing is 44 inches. It opens at 10 a.m. Every day, and tickets start at $30. They've got packages that include T-shirts and videos start around $55. You can head over to sunsetwalk.com if you want more details on that. Okay, who wants to own a prop from Universal Studios Florida's Shrek 4D attraction? If you want to, head on down to Lakeland. Vault Collectibles, which is located inside the Lakeland Antique Mall. It's about 45 minutes or so west of Orlando. They specialize in theme park props. They are all, quote, sourced directly from the appropriate places. So you don't have to worry that they're, stolen. It's all legit. But they get a lot of stuff decommissioned from the theme parks, especially Universal. And right now they've got a big collection taking from Shrek 4D, which was permanently closed. The headliner piece of this is the Pinocchio animatronic from the pre-show. They sold one of these for $7,500 to our friend Taylor, who runs Orlando Informer website. I believe there are actually two of these. There were pretty much two of every prop because there were two theaters, two pre-shows, so that they could double the capacity of this. So there's still a lot of good stuff left. If you want, you can take a look at the price list and pictures of some of the things. If you could, what would you want to take home from this collection of Shrek 4D?
I have thought long and hard about this. The Pinocchio for sure. The price point is relatively reasonable considering the scope of retired attraction props, For $7,500 to have, this animatronic in your house would be really cool.
$7,500 for an animatronic, I feel, is really reasonable. Right. Some of the smaller pieces that are basically just printed signs on a piece of vinyl or a piece of cardboard, cardstock. Some of them get a little pricey. I personally would love to have the Donkbo or the Tick Room, Enchanted Tick Room signs. 'Cause my favorite thing about Shrek was the way it mocked Disney attractions. And so some of those classic Disneyland style posters for the Shrek's knockoff attractions, I think it would be great to have one of those. So you're looking at anything from $3,500 for one of those signs that I'm lusting after, down to $800 for the bins that people would throw their 3D glasses in. So there's a wide variety there. Some of this stuff, what happens is it goes to the Williams of Hollywood prop shop inside the theme park. And then these folks buy it all up as soon as it hits the shelves. And take it home. So if you do happen to be in the theme park, always check out Williams of Hollywood Prop Shop. And that's your first chance to get your hands on some of this. It's not necessarily cheap, but these are one of a kind things. And you'll be able to say that you own a piece of Shrek.
The attraction was around for 20 years. So Surely there are a ton of people out there that this means a lot to them.
If you want more information, head on over to vaultcollectibles.com. Well, it is almost time for St. Patrick's Day, and Ranglin Road is going Irish green once again for their mighty St. Patrick's Day festival. The St. Patrick's Day celebration comes to Ranglin Road at Disney Springs every year, and this year it runs from March 11th all the way through March 17th. Authentic music, comfort food with a twist. Plenty of cold brews, or hopefully also room temperature brews, because that's really what you should serve your Guinness at. And tantalizing specialty cocktails. They've got Irish musicians and dancers being flown in for the event. It's just an overall good time. Are you a fan of Ranglin Road and their Irish celebrations?
I am. I mean, even their normal entertainment blows me away. But the fact that they bring in musicians from Ireland, I mean, that just shows, the attention to detail that they give for St. Patrick's Day. So I'm excited. It should be good.
Yeah. When I have family coming in from out of town and they're not theme park people, but they want something to give them a little taste of what Disney's like. Taking them to Disney Springs, sitting, having a Guinness and some pub food and watching the dancing at Ranglin Road is always a great choice. And this is a perfect time to do it. Keep in mind, from the 11th through the 16th, you can make reservations, and you're probably going to want to do that. on St. Patrick's Day itself. They've got so much stuff going on that it is first come, first serve only. So be there early on St. Patrick's Day if you plan on getting your green on.
And I think they're doing a cover charge, but
yes, absolutely. Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day. Yeah.
Yeah. 10 a.m. St. Patrick's Day stuff starts. There is a $20 cover charge on St. Patrick's Day for guests who are 18 years or up, but they still welcome kids and those kids are free. So head on over to wranglinroad.com and get all the information. Okay, this is one of my personal favorite parks. Hershey Park up in Hershey, Pennsylvania is getting two sweet new rides themed to Jolly Rancher candies. Jolly Rancher Remix Roller Coaster and the new 360-degree spinning ride mixed flavored by Jolly Rancher are going to be making their debut this summer. So here's a secret. Jolly Rancher Remix, they're not really publicizing this that well. It is not a brand new ride. It is actually the Sidewinder, which mm-hmm. is a vintage, and that's a vintage with a capital V for yes. vertebra in your neck, Vekoma Boomerang that, you know, I remember that ride from when I was in college. It's been around for a minute.
No, that was like my nemesis as a child. And I would always force myself to do it. Didn't love it, but I would do it. But yeah. I will be doing the Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, when I was a little younger, your very first upside down roller coaster, if you lived in the central New Jersey, Pennsylvania area, was probably the Super Duper Looper.
Yeah.
And then you stepped up to the Sidewinder. And, you know, this is, like I said, it's a boomerang shuttle coaster from Vekoma. It's getting a new paint job, new theming. It's going to have lights. It's going to have fog. It looks like they've got a tunnel that you're going to go through some brief effects. And one of the cool thing is that it's going to have five different randomized versions, each themed after a different Jolly Rancher flavor. So there's a green apple version. There's a watermelon version, my personal favorite. And each one has different lighting, different music, and you'll actually get sprayed with the scent of that Jolly Rancher candy as you're on that ride. And then, so that one is a 48-inch height requirement. If that's a little too intense, kind of right in the middle of the boomerang, they're putting a new flat ride. It's a four-arm mechanism. It's got a height requirement of only 42 inches, and it kind of spins you gently around and up and down, but it doesn't flip you over or anything. And all this is going to be part of the Springtime in the Park event opening April 2nd. I think these rides will probably open a little after that.
Yes, I reached summer. Out to ask them, and they said it's definitely going to be the summer. So
summer, okay.
I don't think we're going to get any little, you know, early sneak peeks of it, but hopefully soon. So
I know you are a big Hershey Park fan yes. as well. What's your thoughts on this new addition to the park?
I'm excited because honestly, in the last couple of years, I have just bypassed Sidewinder. So I think this will give me a new chance and opportunity to come face to face with it. But I'll be distracted by the music, the lights,
yes,
the candy scents. So I'm excited. I'm going to do it. For sure.
I'm hoping that the paint job maybe makes the track a little smoother. Maybe there'll be some adjustments to those older over the shoulder restraints, which are, you know, a little headbangy. But, you know, it'll at least make it. I will definitely. It's been many years since I've subjected myself to this one. And so maybe I'll be giving it another shot.
Yes, definitely. And then the Chocolatier, which is their new restaurant, is making Jolly Rancher Remix cocktails. So
yes. Yes.
You can reward yourself after.
And I will say the Chocolatier restaurant was my big new positive surprise. The last time I went there, I didn't even go inside the park. Last time I was there, we just went up to the second level of the Chocolatier, had a great meal, had a fantastic peanut butter chocolate old fashioned bourbon coffee.
Old fashioned, oh, yes,
that's so good.
There, yeah.
And sat in the old ride vehicles that they have out on the balcony and watched the new Candemonium coaster go around. Had a really great time without even paying to go in the park. So
it's an incredible addition. The food, like you said, is amazing. I've had like the Coco Cuban, which is a throwback to his, you know, factory in Cuba. It's just,
I recommend the Coco Dusted Chicken Wings.
Those are real good.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm getting hungry. We're going to have to move on. Oh, no, more food. Knott's Berry Farms Boysenberry Festival is back with dozens of boysenberry bites and sips. The Boysenberry Festival, Knott's Berry Farm in Buena Park, California, is returning on March 18th, and they've got more than two dozen new boysenberry foods and drinks. This runs from the 18th of March all the way through April 24th. Kind of Knott's Berry Farms answer to the Food and Wine Festival that goes on at Disney California Adventure, except because it's Knott's, everything involves boysenberry in some way or form. You've got the food, you've got the boysenberry drinks, you've got local crafts, live music, and they also put on some special family-friendly entertainment and activities for the event. Are you a fan of Knott's? And more importantly, are you a fan of boysenberries?
Yes. So I love Knott's. I particularly love the boysenberry soft serve. It's more like a custard consistency that I love. And I'm excited for this festival because they have like dozens of items this year. So I've been already kind of making my list of some of the new things that I want to try. So they're getting pretty inventive, you know.
Yeah, I got to experience this event on one of its first years a few years ago, and I enjoyed everything I tried, from the boysenberry beer to the boysenberry meatballs, boysenberry chicken wings. Those were great too, but they've got some interesting things on the list this year. They got a crab sushi roll with boysenberry aioli, chicken cordon bleu with boysenberry cheese.
That's the top of my list, by the way. Chicken cordon bleu. Need to try that.
A pozole with boysenberry garnish and tortilla chips. Boysenberry cowboy chili. Definitely a wide range. I guess it's sort of like Henry Ford said about the Model T. You can have it any color you want as long as it's black. Well, Here you can have any kind of food you want as long as it's boysenberry.
Yes. And then there's a boysenberry horchata, which I was like, oh, okay, that's... Now that's at the top of my list for beverages.
So if your mouth is watering, I highly recommend you pick up one of their tasting cards. You can purchase all these a la carte, but if you get a tasting card for $50 or $45 if you're a season pass holder, you get to have six different options, and it's a pretty good cost savings over the regular prices. If the idea of eating all that boysenberry does not appeal to you, you can still enjoy the live entertainment. They've got a Snoopy's Boysenberry Jamboree with the whole Peanuts gang. Riverboat Revenge, which is a new show in the legendary Birdcage Theater that's paying tribute to the park's history. If you're not aware, Birdcage Theater is where Steve Martin got his start on stage. There's a lot of great history there. And speaking of history, they're also going to have a museum exhibit explaining the history of the boysenberry. And how, how Knott's Berry Farm came to be, all thanks to a little fruit. So like we said, this is starting off March 18th, running through April 24th. Knott's Berry Farm's website is where you can get more information, and Destination Character Travel will help you get there. Okay, a little bit sadder news. Hong Kong Disneyland is facing an extended COVID closure. Hong Kong Disneyland, throughout the pandemic, has closed and reopened more times than any other Disney park. And right now it is the only park in the Disney's empire that is currently closed. It was forced to suspend operations in early January. They originally hoped that would just be for a couple weeks. It was then extended to February 23rd. And now it has been extended another 2 months. The target reopening date now for Hong Kong Disneyland is April 22nd. The hotels are remaining open with social distancing, and they are extending expiration dates on tickets during this period that's closed if you had a trip planned there. This is not great news, huh?
No, I mean, it's just so incredibly sad for cast members. I think also for just overall morale of people nearby. You know, it's like we seek out the parks for comfort, and I hope that they stay on track to open in April. So, you know, fingers crossed for all of them.
Yeah. It just goes to show that even though we're kind of over the virus is not quite over us.
Right.
So if you want more information about that, head on over to HongKongDisneyland.com, and that's where they'll be posting all the updates. Okay, another Disneyland international news. Disneyland Paris Pride celebrates diversity. Disneyland Paris Pride blends international singers, a colorful parade, meet and greets, and magical atmosphere as it celebrates diversity and inclusion with a special after-hours hard ticket event on June 11th in Disneyland Paris. Now, the Disney parks in the U.S., Anaheim and Orlando have had unofficial gay pride celebrations for decades, gay days. That was never an officially operated by Disney event. It was always kind of an independent fan operated thing. This is an actual Disney promoted, Disney sold event taking place inside the Walt Disney Studios park. It's the second time it's happening. It happened in 2019. It was postponed in 2020 and 2021, but it's back now on June 11th from park's closing time until 2 a.m. And it's going to include an outdoor concert lineup that includes Mika, Bilal Hassani, and Becky Hill. You're going to be able to ride the attractions, going to be able to do special meet and greets with the characters. And there is going to be a Disney's Colorful Pride Parade, which will showcase favorite Disney characters in rainbow colored outfits. So what's your take on this?
I love it. I mean, first off, I'm jealous that they're going to be in the park until 2 a.m.
Yeah, right.
But I just miss those days of when you can have a late dinner and go to Magic Kingdom until 1 a.m. So I was very jealous. If I could go to this, I would. I love Micah. He was big here in the U.S. maybe like two decades ago, but obviously he's very big in Europe. I would love to go to this. And the parade costumes, they look amazing.
Parade costumes look great. Even their car seems decked out for the occasion. There's also, of course, going to be a Pride collection of event-specific merchandise. There'll probably be special food because there's got to be a rainbow cupcake. This event goes from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. And it costs 89 euros, which is about $100 per person. You can find out more and purchase tickets for this at DisneylandParis.com. Yeah, I personally, I've, you know, been a lifelong LGBTQ plus ally, and would love to see an event like this in Orlando. And personally, I would also love to see Disney as a major corporation in Florida have something to say about the bills being passed by the Florida legislature right now. Which would make it illegal to discuss an event like this in a public school. I'm not going to get on a soapbox, just that's my two cents. It's nice that they can market to the community and make money off of it. I wish when it push comes to shove, they could also stand up. So.
Right. And I love that Disneyland Paris said, you know, we want to support all of our cast members and whatnot. Mm-hmm. By doing this, you know, Pride celebration. So this needs to come over here.
Yeah. So moving right along. Genie Plus is now available for Space Mountain, Frozen Ever After, and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway in Walt Disney World. If you have used the Genie Plus service, which is the replacement for the free FastPass service here in Walt Disney World, you might have noticed that a few of the former FastPass attractions were not included in the base price of $15 a day for Genie Plus. Now, a few of them are Space Mountain, Frozen Ever After, and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway used to be individual lightning lanes that you'd have to pay for a la carte separate from Genie Plus. Now these attractions have been added into Genie Plus. So if you're buying Genie Plus for the day, you can make these selections as part of the package. My personal take on this is, having just used Genie Plus at Magic Kingdom the other day, is they need to do this because Space Mountain in particular at Magic Kingdom, you could still buy individual Lightning Lanes for that into late afternoon. But regular Genie Plus for most of the other decent attractions like Jungle Cruise, Peter Pan, were all gone by mid-morning. So they just don't have enough capacity on Genie Plus and not enough demand on individual Lightning Lane. Have you used Genie Plus? Yes. And
I echo what you're saying. Last week I was at Magic Kingdom. I had some free time. Mm-hmm. All I wanted to do was go into Haunted Mansion. And so I went on, got up the, you know, Genie Plus, looked at it, and the time was until 7 p.m. And this, I was like, I am not waiting around for this. And I'm glad to see Disney kind of buckling under the pressure of the crowds and respond as quickly, especially going into spring break and summer. And They said this is only going to last until August, but I mean, hopefully they'll see that this may work out a little bit better than having them just as a la carte purchases.
Yeah, this is a temporary change, but I am hoping that it becomes a permanent change. So the way that Genie Plus is kind of shaking out, especially at Magic Kingdom, it's honestly, there's not that much demand for it at Epcot and at Animal Kingdom. But if you're going to Disney's Hollywood Studios or Magic Kingdom, it's almost mandatory because we're seeing a lot of the attractions that used to be known as people eaters that you could, you know, just walk onto with a 20-minute wait anytime, are now regularly posting hour-long or longer waits. Especially if you are interested in riding, I'd say the top four would be Jungle Cruise, Peter Pan, Haunted Mansion, or Pirates of the Caribbean. You've got to be on that Genie Plus system right at 7 a.m. and you're still very likely to be getting return times in late afternoon or evening. Genie Plus is great for people like me who sit in their house all day making Genie Plus reservations and then don't show up in the park until dinner time and then just knock them off all back to back. But that's not very useful for Disney, and it's not very useful if you're spending the entire day in the park. So hopefully this will alleviate a little bit of the pressure. It'll create a little bit more breathing room for Genie Plus selections. I did Space Mountain standby the other night, and they're posting a 45-minute wait, and they still had individual Lightning Lanes available that they were selling, but the actual wait was only 18 minutes. So So take those standby waits with a grain of salt. So obviously, if you want more information, we have great detailed guides to Genie Plus explaining the whole system on our website, attractionsmagazine.com. And if you want to start planning your trip to Walt Disney World, Destinations with Character Travel can help you do that. And our last bit of news in the queue is that Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on Broadway is bringing back House Pride Nights. Yes, if you are a Ravenclaw, a Hufflepuff, a Slytherin, or a Gryffindor, there is a night for you. You can represent your Hogwarts house with pride by dressing up and attending one of four special performances of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Is it cursed or cursed?
Not I see cursed, sure. But...
Okay, well, all right, we'll say cursed then. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, House Pride Nights at the Lyric Theater in New York City. This, of course, is the condensed one-night version. It used to be a two-performance experience, and now they kind of boiled it all down to just one show. So they've got a limited number of $79 orchestra and dress circle seats available exclusively to Hogwarts housemates. So you can enjoy the show along with other members of your house. Ravenclaws get March 23rd, Hufflepuffs get March 30th, Slytherins are on April 6th, and Gryffindors are on April 13th. And on these performances, the show begins at 7 p.m., but the doors are going to open as early as 5:30, and the first 100 fans are going to get to go into the theater early and check out some augmented reality experiences, get to visit the gift shop, and get special gifts and compete in a costume contest for prizes, along with getting a special house-themed souvenir pin. I have not seen this show. Have you gotten a chance to see it?
I haven't, no, but it's on my list for sure.
We, my brother and sister and I chipped in a few years ago and got my mom and stepdad tickets to the full version of this when it first came out on Broadway. And my stepdad is a big Harry Potter fan, and my mom has dutifully slept through all of the movies next. But they both love the show. Ever since, I have been dying to see it myself. My only thing, I'm curious, I'm not sure exactly how they get you to verify that you really are in the house. Like, if do you have to show your actual letter that the owl delivered to prove that you're a Hogwarts student? I'm not really sure.
In your crew neck sweater with the house emblazoned across.
Of course. Well, you can head on over to Universal Studios to pick up your robes and all of your gear to get ready. And you can head on over to our website for more details on the links to purchase one of these tickets for these event nights. Okay, so I've got to bring up my script now. That is about all that we have for you for this week's news in the queue. But before we get on to this week's main attraction, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Here at Destinations with Character Travel, we offer the best experience with your travels. Need to visit the thrilling Disneyland Resort, Walt Disney World? Maybe lounge about on a Disney cruise or any other major cruise line? No problem. So if you're looking for a stress and hassle-free vacation, visit us at www.destinationswithcharacter.com. Contact us today and let us plan a magical vacation for you and your family.
It's time for the main attraction!
All right, for this week's main attraction, the world's first Peppa Pig theme park is now open at the Legoland Florida Resort. It was just barely a year ago that we first had the announcement, and now it is open for the first time ever. Preschoolers have a place to call their own in Central Florida, as an all-new standalone theme park has joined the Legoland Florida Resort. Themed to the British children's animated series, the world's first Peppa Pig theme park offers 6 rides, interactive attractions, and themed playscapes, bringing the show's storylines and characters to life. I was lucky enough to get to preview this place, and it is adorable. We have a lot of great footage on our website, videos that you can watch of all the attractions of the shows, walk around, tour of the playgrounds. If you've got a kid who is preschool age, I'd say under the age of 6, they know who Peppa Pig is. Peppa Pig is like, I don't know, I think you kind of combine Barney and Elmo, and that's how big she is for this generation. So I foresee this being quite popular. Are you excited about this?
Yeah, so I was there at the preview, but I know we came in at different times. It's incredible. It's whimsical. It's so colorful. I didn't go with kids and I loved it. I think it's adorable. The roller coaster, Daddy Pig's coaster, was great. Has a little bit of a launch in it. Miss Rabbit's Diner was so well done, the theming in there. And that's just a quick service spot, but they really made it something special. I think families are going to love this. I think it is setting the Legoland, you know, Florida Resort up for the next couple of years. And I'm excited to see what they're going to do. And they're kind of really nailing this target market of, you know, from birth to like 13 years old, you know, there's so much now little ones have something to do. And, you know, a parent can take one kid into Peppa Pig. Maybe the family splits off, goes in the Legoland, meets up. It's great.
Legoland has always been great for kids who are from, like, you know, first grade up to, you know, like tweens, like 12, 13 year old. And this kind of fills in that bottom end of the market. You know, I know if you scroll through these pictures or if you watch our videos, you know, if you're trying to compare this to a Disney or a Universal theme park, it's going to look very two-dimensional. You know, it's not that same kind of immersiveness. But if you're a five-year-old kid, this is totally immersive. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's also, financially speaking, scaled right, I think. This is not $100 ticket. This is a $35 ticket or $30 if you buy in advance. So that's a really, you know, reasonable price for what you're getting. And you know, what I liked about it was that it wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't overstimulating. You know, you've got a cinema, which is just a quiet room with beanbag chairs, and you can just chill out. And you know, the rides are built, so that kids are not intimidated. They're not freaked out by it. If you have a kid who has sensory issues or autism, is on the spectrum, they are certified. They have amazing sensory information. So it's a perfect place to take them. I will say we've got a comment in our chat, and I'm not, it's a little snippy, so I'm not going to put it up directly, but I'll paraphrase and say that it's not entirely wrong. The one flaw I would say is that there is not enough shade. This was basically built on a former parking lot, and there are shade structures around the perimeter, but it kind of walked through the middle of the park, and it's a lot of open concrete. And I've talked to the designers of this. They are very aware that by August, they're going to need to throw up some more shade, or else they're going to have some kids passing.
What they had was good, but I think they can definitely do more. I will say, you know,
In 10 years when the trees all in 10 years when the trees all grow in, it will definitely be much more welcoming. I would say right now, when it's still coolish out, we're actually here in Orlando, we're back to the 80s, so I think we're almost back to summer. But check it out now in February and March, if you get a chance, before it gets too hot out. And our friends at Destination with Character Travel can help you plan a trip. Legoland Florida Resort, check it out and say hi to Peppa for us while you're there.
And George.
And George. Don't forget George.
Don't forget George.
Okay, well, we have just about made it to the end of another show. But before we say goodbye, we do have a listener thank you to share. In case you didn't know, Attractions Magazine has a 4-tier subscription plan. Right now, we are not selling our VIP tiers, that's closed. But if you choose our club tier, the week after you subscribe, you will get a shout out from us here on the podcast. And this week, we are giving thanks to Terry Ingram. Thank you so much, Terry, for subscribing. So please, if you're interested in having us say your name, go on over and sign up for our club. And while you're there, please check out our winter issue of the magazine. And you might have noticed that there's one thing that happened this week that we mysteriously did not talk about. Yes, Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser had its big media preview this week, officially open March 1st. And if you want to hear everything about the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser experience straight from our publisher, Matt, who got to spend the full 2-night, 3-day experience, we have a special bonus episode available from the same spot where you got this podcast. So please download that and check it out for every possible detail about Galactic Star Cruiser. And finally, before we go, I want to thanks once more to our sponsor, Destinations with Character Travel. Once again, thank you as always for supporting us. And I want to remind all of you out there to support us by please giving us a review on Apple Podcasts, and please leave us a rating on Spotify. So if you want to hear more from us before our next episode, Carly, where can they find you on the interwebs?
The interwebs, a dark place. I am on Twitter at Carly Caramana, my full name, which is very fun to spell. And then on Instagram, I am Adventures by Carly.
Awesome. You can find me at theunofficialguides.com or at the UG series on Twitter and at the Unofficial Guides on Instagram. And you can find Attractions Magazine today and every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at Attractions on Twitter, at Attractions Magazine on Instagram, and on YouTube.com at Attractions Magazine. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, try something new, but most of all, most importantly, have fun. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks, all.